Thank you, Jesus. Wow. As you're seated, would you take your Bibles and open them to the book of John, the 14th chapter. We'll begin reading there in a few moments. I've been trying to find words to describe Wasilla. Now, you need to understand, I hope it's all right with you and that I have your permission. I talk about you everywhere. I talk about what God is doing here. I talk about this church. I talk about Pastor Daniel, his lovely wife, and children. How many of you know there is a work of grace that happens in a community where God determines, I do not understand this. I know it has to do with our faith, but I know it has more to do with his imputed righteousness. Where he says, I'm going to touch somewhere and I'm going to use it because everyone will know that it's my hand of grace that's upon them. And from the moment I've arrived, I'm treated so kindly, so graciously. There's a verse of scripture in the book of Romans. I think it's Romans 13, verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 13, whichever it is. And it says, given to hospitality. You know, hospitality is something that's such a work of God's grace. And when I get around Pastor Daniel, he tells me how good-looking I am. I know it's the truth, but I like hearing it. Everyone here, you're so gracious. You say such kind things to me, to James. You talk about praying for us. There's a hospitality that is in this church that I believe with all of my heart that hell fears. I want you to get that down inside of you. Because the closer you get to becoming what God desires for you, the more hell will desire to literally use your strength against you. Yeah. See, everybody thinks the devil wants to use your weakness. Hear me, he'll usually use your strength. And there's something that I've watched through the years. People will do dumb things. No, I know I'm talking to another church, not this. And usually when people do dumb things, I will disqualify them and put them in a box and not realize that I am destroying my future. Now, when I was young, I didn't understand that. Because I met people all the time. How many know you can't fix stupid? I'm just being too plain. We're live, aren't we? And when I was young, I thought, well, wherever I saw stupid, it was my job to point it out. And not realizing that sometimes not only was I destroying a person, I was destroying the person that God wanted to use in my future. And instead of uniting with them and believing in them, and that's one of the things I love about Pastor Daniel. I'm going to stand. What God has done in he and his lovely wife's life is such a work of grace that the people that others would disqualify that God wants to use, they realize that those were once them and that if God can do it for them, they can do it for anybody. And I just, at times I get overwhelmed by it. And I just want to thank you for inviting me. I know you invite me because you like James. And now, a few minutes ago when he was singing, I knew it's very unusual to hang out with James because all of a sudden he steps over into another world. It's an unseen world. And when it's happening, people around just think it happens all the time. But do you know what it's like to have him in your home and to listen to him on the piano in the other room, and he write three songs in 30 minutes that nobody's ever heard before? And then he'll walk out. My funnest story about James, he and I were speaking at a very prestigious place. And I won't tell you where it was. But, I was speaking at a leadership thing, and I said to him, I said, do something kind of light this morning. Kind of get everybody awake. And so we walked in, and he did this thing, and it just, I mean, leaders, people of great influence. Everybody just fell in love with it. And so when we're coming back from lunch, I said, would you do that song again you did the first thing this morning? He went, I don't think I can. I made it up on the spot. If I could do what he just did, I would stop everybody and go, did you just see what I just did? How many are grateful for God's grace on James Huey? I do have good news and bad news. The bad news is there are only two of his new CDs left, and one of them is in my hand. And there's only one because whoever runs up here fastest gets this one. Oh, I'm sorry. I owe you $12. But there are several of this CD, and the good news is this is the one that's got When I Think About the Lord on it. If you don't have it, you need to go by and check it out. I want to start out with something very unusual. Thank you, James. I want to do a video. It's only a minute, and it's kind of a peculiar video. Brother Michael helped me find it, and it helps me illustrate tonight's message. Whenever you're ready, Mike, would you bring it up, please? The dancing cop. Now, the reason that I showed the video is because of its importance in understanding empowerment. Tonight, we're speaking on empowered to do the impossible. And by the way, Pastor Rob, thank you for being here tonight. Pastor called him today, and I didn't even know there was a Dream Center in Wasilla, and invited him to come tonight, and we had a time of precious fellowship before church. But when you see the cop, now you got to get this. Now stop and think about it a second. Every vehicle that he is speaking to has more actual muscle power than he has. But because he is empowered, he is able to direct. And when you and I begin to understand empowered to do the impossible, this is about to give power or authority. It is not about you or about your strength, but it is about God's strength and God's power. Empowered for transformation, empowered for success, empowered for protection, empowered for destiny, empowered to have a legacy. How many of you believe hell wants to literally rob the legacy of this church, but God is calling it to be empowered for not only this generation, but for future generations of the power of the glory of God? I love these words of E. Stanley Jones. God transformed himself into man. He became like us, that we might become like him. That is the principle of empowerment. God gave us the example, the one who came, who utterly and totally trusted the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, in everything that he did, that the world might see the demonstration of God's holy righteousness. Empowered to pass beyond where we are right now. Empowered to walk in the right direction. Empowered to literally reunite our hearts with Father God, the God of the universe, who revealed himself in the life of Jesus Christ. Empowerment is about gaining new life. Empowerment is about being released from your past. Empowerment is about living purposefully and victoriously. Empowerment is about growing in peace, growing in confidence, growing in maturity. Being transformed in your body, your mind, and your emotion. Empowered to do the impossible. Would you take your Bibles and go with me to the book of John, please? The book of John, the 14th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse number 12. Will you stand with me, please, everyone, for the reading of God's word? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, they will do also. And greater works than these they will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, everyone say these words out loud with me. I will do it. Empowered to do the impossible. Father, I love you and I praise you. Before you're seated, give three people a great big hug and say, you're beautiful, I see Jesus in you. You may be seated, everyone. Empowered to do the impossible. Very important. Can you bring up the next slide, please? Empowered to do the impossible. Go big.
Believe.
Go big.
Believe.
Go big.
Believe.
Now, please hashtag it so that you can let other people know what God has been doing. Everyone again, go big. Now, this is very important. His authority is within you. Empowerment is God's authority in you to literally go about expanding his kingdom and establishing Jesus Christ's righteousness on planet Earth. Empowerment is not about physical strength, but it's about spiritual delegated authority. His authority is within you. Now please, his authority is delegated power. In a world that surrounds us with doubt, dysfunction, even darkness, we will try to see because our hearts become filled with fear. We need friends of faith who will inspire us to dream. Inspire us to go big. Go big. God wants us by faith to expect the unexpected, to believe for the unbelievable, to hear the unhearable, to see the unseeable, to love the unlovable, to touch the untouchable, to reach the unreachable, to achieve the unachievable, to have the unhavable, to do the undoable. Hear me today. We can do that which cannot be done, because with God all things are possible to those who believe. Hear me, I'm not talking about the sensual seen world. I'm talking about the ability by the heart to touch the unseen world. We live in a world of the unholy spirit, the spirit of hostility, but God, through the power of the Holy Spirit in filling us, we have the ability to stand and speak his names and mountains be removed. Now, what we have here that I've been reading the last few moments from John the 14th chapter is a conversation. It's a conversation with Philip that, to be honest with you, is the reason why I ask people all the time to turn and say to people, "You're beautiful, I see Jesus in you." Now, this is very important. Jesus said, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." I want you to follow with me. Well, I'm going to read a verse, and then I'm going to ask everyone in the room to read the verse following out loud. Now, this is a conversation. Now, get this. Don't just see it as a Bible thing out there. See literally Philip in conversation with Jesus. I'll read the first verse. You read the second. I'll read the third, fourth, and so forth. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." "Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work." "Most assuredly, I say unto you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." It's an extraordinary conversation. It's a conversation about empowerment, about relationship, about the relationship that we see in the very Trinity itself. Now, please listen to me. You may want to write this down. The Trinity operates by authority. The Bible clearly shows us here in John 14 when Jesus says, "I am in the Father and the Father in me. And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work." When you move to the next chapter 16, Jesus explains the work of the Holy Spirit when he proclaims that when he leaves, he will send the Comforter. "But the Comforter will not speak on his own authority, but he will take of mine and declare it to you." And then in the very next verse, he says, "But hold it, what I got from God the Father." Please hear me. The very power of the Trinity operates in authority. If the Trinity operates in authority, how in the world can you and I walk in an independent world where we believe we're the authority? I want you to kind of digest that. What is authority? A relationship of empowerment. To us word who believe. On Sunday, we began with a message on, so importantly, go big, believe. We talked about the elements from the book of Romans of God giving us an open heart, a directed heart, a word-filled heart, an overflowing heart, a believing heart. But tonight, I want us to look at how do we enter into the relationship of God's delegated authority within us. that we are not rebels holding authority falsely, but we walk and exercise the authority of the name that is above all name, that at that name every knee must bow, every tongue must confess. Jesus Christ is not dead. He holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He is alive forevermore. He is at the right hand of the Father. And I want to say it out loud tonight. God has not abdicated the throne. He is high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. We've got someone to praise who is holy. Somebody shout holy. The weapons of our warfare. To understand how we walk in this authority, I want to give you four things that I think are important to write down, to take home with you, to consider tonight. If you walk in empowerment to do the impossible, number one, adversity is the birthing place of authority. I want to say that again. Adversity is the birthing place of authority. If there is no adversity in your life, you will never understand authority. Without adversity, there's no overcoming. Look at me. To him that eats of the tree of life, they have to be an overcomer. Now, I don't know about you, but if I have to vote for adversity, I will pass. No! But how many of you know that adversity is a promise of Jesus? In this world, you will have. Be of good. Now, that doesn't seem to fit to me. When you all have adversity, I don't find a real joy. I want to slap somebody. Does anybody besides me ever get the spirit of slap on them? Oh, I don't yield. It just comes occasionally. I'm understanding you got to keep the flesh crucified. Now, in this world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good. Now, cheer is the effervescence of joy. I need to ask you, when you get all hot and shook up, what comes up? You're not helping me. Blood pressure. You're listening there, right there. Now, effervescence are those little bubbles in Coke. Now, I can tell you all are more calm and sedate than I am, but when I was growing up, I loved to take a bottle of Coca-Cola and put my thumb over the top of it and shake it. And how many of you know enough about Coke that the warmer the Coke, the better the spray? Now, adversity either opens your heart to faith or it closes your heart to the flesh. And when I say when you get all hot and shook up, what comes up, whether you realize it or not, you are like a bottle of Coca-Cola. And the devil will literally try and do everything in his power to get you all hot and shook up so that you begin to explode in worry instead of worship. I don't know if Pastor told it earlier when I stepped out, but when he and Pastor Morocco this morning went to the bank, just before they gave the piece of paper to the banker, Pastor Morocco just reached over and put his hand on it and prayed for it right there in front of the banker. He just released it. God, if this is your will, we're ready. If it's not, that's fine. Can you imagine that banker sitting there? I don't know. He may be a Christian or he may be a pagan. But in that moment, he said, hold it. We've been through a lot of places. And God, you used this property for your will before. And now we're not going to hold on to it tightly either. We're going to believe in your grace and your power in the midst of the challenge, in the midst of the adversity. When Philip is talking to Jesus, Jesus is helping him to understand, in the midst of adversity, I'm not going to make you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you alone. If you will open your heart by faith and believe in the power of what God can do, nothing is impossible to those who believe. Go big.
Believe.
Number one, adversity is the birthing place of authority. Number two, serving is the growing place of authority. You will only set free that which you are willing to serve. Most of us want to take authority and rule and reign and not realize that ruling and reigning doesn't come out of leadership, it comes out of servanthood. The ability to serve is what changes everything. Do you know what I've learned in my life? I grew up believing it was my job to have authority over my son. And I'm going to tell you, I was good at it. Until the day that I saw him backslide and run away from God. And God spoke to me and said, I'm going to change you, and in changing you, I'm going to transform your son. And out loud, I said to God, God, I don't need changing. I'm doing pretty good. I will never forget it as long as I live. Because over the next few months, God began to speak to me that as my son would be asleep, drunk, on drugs, to go in when he couldn't even talk and prophesy, and kneel beside his bed. And every day when he'd get out of bed, I'd begin to say, how you doing, man of God? And he'd look at me, trying to get rid of the drunken stupor, because instead of ruling over him, I began to bless him. I began to prophesy to him. See, most of my life, this is the way I live. Concentrate on people's weaknesses, they get stronger. What I found is the more I concentrate on your weaknesses, the weaker you get. When I begin to see in you what God sees in you, when I begin to serve in you what God sees in you, there is a freedom that comes. Everyone wants to go big. Everybody wants to accomplish great things. But the problem is not the power of God. The reality of it is the learning place of God's authority is, are you under authority? Do you understand authority? Do you serve authority? Or do you always have to be the boss? Go ahead and preach, Mike. You're doing a good job. They're listening. They're just quiet. Serving is the growing place of authority. Servanthood reminds us to stay humble and to avoid the win at all cost mentality of our present world. I shouldn't talk about this because I'd have to be honest. Is there anybody besides me who likes to win? There are only seven of you who have really. How many of you like to lose? May I see your hands? Okay, then we got there. Okay. I have a very competitive spirit in everything that I do. When I'm around anything or any group, it's not long until I begin to analyze how can I be the best at whatever I do. I don't know how it's going to be with my grandchildren tolerating me. I don't play checkers that I don't expect to win. I'm too old to play football because I could get hurt. And the reason I don't play football is not because I'm old. It's because I know I can win. If I play basketball, I make sure I'm with friends that I know will win. I guess that's the reason I play golf in my old age. I still believe I can win at something. What I have learned is the concept of servanthood is the only thing that keeps that part of me crucified. When I ask people like I did yesterday, turn to somebody and say, where would you be without Jesus? There's no debate with me. I'd either be dead or in hell. Because somebody would have killed me. Somebody would have arrested me. Not because I was the meanest or the baddest. I learned how to win without being meanest and baddest. Meanest and baddest just usually get you killed. But when you realize the principles of God's kingdom, that if I serve you, I set you free to accomplish purpose. Otherwise, I just become a lone ranger. And until I'm willing to serve you, I really do not have the understanding of the love of Christ inside of my life. And that's the reason why the Bible says in the book of Acts, the second chapter, so profoundly that in the last days he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Servants are the people that God is going to use in the end time. It's not going to be swords. It's not going to be stars. It's going to be servants of the Most High God. The third thing that I want you to get about empowerment is this. If you're going to be empowered to do the impossible, you have to remain teachable. Momentum in knowledge stops the moment you think you know it all. That's something worth writing down. Momentum in knowledge stops the moment you think you know it all. The moment you have arrived, you are no longer there. Did that make sense? I want you to get that. The moment this church believes it's arrived, it's no longer viable or usable by God. God uses this place, and you have to constantly remain with a teachable spirit. Let me give you this, and I may preach on this at a future time, but everyone out loud say the word speak. Now, you got to get this. It's very important. Whenever you know someone, this principle that is called the speak principle is extraordinary. S-P-E-A-K. Now, when you understand everyone has a story, S, everyone has passion, you encourage the passion, E, you affirm the person, but the K is always this, knowledge. I'm going to say everything I just said to you again. If you want to build a relationship of empowerment, of authority, you learn the speak principle. It is something that I use. Please forgive me. I don't even know how to explain this, because if you understand relationships, then people think you manipulate, but the manipulation is an act of the heart. You can know nothing and be a manipulator. Well, that was good. But when I meet people, and I want to make a connection with them, the first thing I ask them is, tell me your story. Secondly, if you know what someone is passionate about, you can literally lead them. Your passion is the fire that directs every human being. If I know your story, and if I know what you're passionate about, then literally there is a connection, both of the head and the heart. But this is very important. You encourage the person. You know, excuse me, you encourage the passion. See, we live in a world, there are very few Daniel Brackens. No, I don't praise the Lord for it. Daniel Bracken sees the power of passion. We live in a world that everyone tries to get rid of passion. Passion was created by God. You are a passionate human being. And if you don't understand how passionate I am, on Thursday morning when I land in Tulsa, somewhere around 10 a.m., there's a red-headed, green-eyed lady who's going to get out of the car, and she's going to put her arms around me and say, "Welcome home, baby." And she is going to kiss me. And in that moment, I will forget I was in Alaska. You were created for fire. You were. You were created for fire. You were created for passion. The thing is when the devil perverts it into drugs, alcohol, immorality. And so many times what we do is we try and stop the passion instead of direct the passion. And then you affirm the person, the human being that is in front of you, every human being you meet. When you correct your children, make sure you correct that what is wrong. Don't try and get rid of the passion. Don't stop them. And then affirm them. I love you. You are the best looking child on planet Earth. You look just like me. But then please get this. It's very important. You never leave that person without challenging them to gain more knowledge. Whenever people begin to talk about me, whatever to me about whatever they're going through, every time I encourage them, gain more knowledge. Gain more knowledge. Empowerment comes through knowledge. God did not expect us to check our brains in at the door. He's a mighty God. He is the God of the universe. He knows everything. He's not bothered by your intelligence or by your questions. The last thing about empowered to do the impossible is this: stay sensitive. In an age full of technology, of mass media, of a world that seems to be fighting for our attention, the law of the mind, whatever gets your attention gets you. Write that down. It's the law of the mind. Whatever gets your attention gets you. All of a sudden, the cares of the world can begin to literally drown out the sensitivity of the work of the Holy Spirit that guides us in every part of our lives. Please get it again. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Growing up, it bugged me. Those of you who've never met my mama's 87. My father planted churches. I grew up in church. Most of them were small churches. Our nursery was usually underneath the front seat, and if we messed up, my mother would kick us with the back of her heel. I kid about it, but we were involved in everything. When growing up, if my dad could have put a dress on me, he would have put me in missionettes. If you were sick, it don't matter. You're going to church. We believe in healing. We didn't miss church. If my dad looked at me with that look, I knew when I got home that we were going to have a discussion. I've always been around church all of my life. And my mother, who is still first lady, she constantly to this day and has been doing it to me ever since I was about 12, she will walk up to me and she'll go pat me on the heart and say, "Stay open. Stay open." And then she'll look at me and say, "Stay sweet." Can I tell you, I don't like sweet. I never saw sweet win anything. When I was growing up and my mother would pat me on my chest and say, "Stay sweet," I can't tell you how much I hated it, how much I despised it. You know, when you come in from football practice and you have just been beat up from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and you did your best to beat up everything that came at you, and somebody pats you on the heart and says, "Be sweet." But when I broke my collarbone playing football as a freshman in high school on the senior squad, my mother slept on the floor for 5 days next to me because I would wake up and dreaming, literally crazy out of my mind, with such hostility of hate. We live in a world that literally wants to create this hard core around your heart and remove that open heart. Because as long as the heart is open, you can direct your heart. And when you can direct your heart because you fill your heart with the word and you're a feeding heart, then you become an overflowing heart, which is exactly the elements of the believing heart. But to have that believing heart, you go through adversity. Some of you are sitting here tonight and you're going through such adversity and you're going, "Brother Michael, I am so tired of preachers talking to me about adversity with somebody just saying the name of Jesus and get rid of it." The problem is your adversity is what's going to qualify you for your next level. And until you can learn how to deal with that adversity, you don't get the next level. Because the next level's got its own set of adversities. Everything, when I'm hearing Pastor talk about, the other day when we were standing up on that piece of property, he said, "Pray." And I'm looking it over, and I just, I told him, I said, "I'm praying that you get this property because I want to preach on this property." Now, can I ask you, are you walking through some adversity moments? It would almost be odd if everyone in this room isn't having some level of adversity. In your thoughts, in your attitudes, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Why? They open the heart. What? They open the heart to go big, believe. When I stand up here, I don't stand in my own. I love it when Jesus says this: "I am in the Father, and the Father in me. And the words that I speak to you, I'm not standing here speaking on my own authority." That policeman, when he's blowing the whistle, doing the crazy stuff, If he didn't have the policeman uniform, somebody in New York could run him over. But that ability, he stands there in the authority and the grace of God. I'm going to ask how many of you tonight will say, Michael, I need the helper of God. He's a promise of God the Father. He's a gift. He's a gift of God the Father. He's a promise of God the Son. I'm finished. The Holy Spirit's saying, everyone here who wants more of God, stand to your feet right now in the name of Jesus. If you want more of God, leave your seat and come to the front, please, right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know why, but the words of the old song, I have found a sweet peace that I never had known. It's a joy this world cannot afford. Since I yielded control of my body and soul to my wonderful, wonderful Lord. Now, I want you to lift your eyes and I want you to look at me a moment, please. The dimension of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit can best be understood by breathing. Job calls God the Holy Spirit the breath of the Almighty in chapter 33. See, most of us take our breath so for granted because our mind is unfruitful. You remember what Paul says in the book of Corinthians, that when he's praying in the Spirit, his mind is unfruitful? And yet when you read, he's talking about it with such power and such intention. How can the mind be unfruitful? And yet, do you realize, since I've been here tonight, unless there's something wrong with you, you not one time have thought, breathe. How many know what you are if you stop breathing? Don't you think you ought to think about it once in a while? Now, I know sometimes when I got loud tonight, you were thinking, preacher, you need to breathe. But as long as you're healthy, you don't ever think breathe, because it's just a naturally part of who you are. That's what empowered to do the impossible is. It's not you're sitting around thinking, I got to do the impossible. You just do it. One night I'm preaching in Anaheim and I'm praying for people and four demonics surround me. And what had happened was, I told one of the mothers who was Hispanic, she said, well, my son is in jail. And I said, go get him out of jail. But tell him he's got to be in church on Sunday night. And he said he would only come to church on Sunday night if he brought his four friends that he met in jail. Well, these four guys surround me, and all of a sudden, in front of me is a demonic. And can I tell you, I didn't stop and think, do the impossible. There was a demonic in front of me. Before I knew what hit me, I said, in the name of Jesus. And when I did, the guy on my left fell to the ground and started hissing like a snake. It so scared the usher, he jumped up on the pew. Now that's a real armor bearer. Now, it is very difficult unless you have one of those moments. I did not think power. Something came out of me that didn't come out of my head. It came out of my heart. It came out of my soul. I said, you foul spirit, shut up and come out. I turned and literally cast out all four. And all four of them were laying on the floor under the power of God. And I stopped and went, well, what are we going to do the next minute? Now, when you say that to people, they go, wow, you're so... No, I wasn't anything. That was just a glove being used by a hand. Now, let's stop for a second. Everybody take a deep breath. Now let it out. Now, everybody take a deep breath and hold it. Don't let it out. Let it out or you'll pass out. You go, oh, that's some kind of relaxation technique. No, I'm not into relaxing. The second way you breathe is the way most people treat God, the Holy Spirit. God wants you to learn how to be naturally supernatural. Or it's not a matter of your thoughts, because your thoughts are filled with the Word of God. You're walking in the power of God. You just do what you're supposed to do. It's so natural. I watch other people and I go, well, I'd like to do that. God goes, no, you'd have to think to do that. Just relax. In a moment, what I want you to do is say, I want all of you. I want the helper. I want the comforter. I don't want you to worry about what you sound like, what you think like. In a few moments, and it's very important that you understand on the day of Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter, that they spoke with other tongues. Because people are all the time asking me, why is that so important? It's because language is empowerment. Now, I want you to think through this with me. The initial physical evidence of empowerment in any country of the world is language. I have never been in Russia watching them rock a baby teaching that baby Chinese. Never. In a few days, I'll be preaching in Paris. I've preached in Paris probably 100, 200 times. I have never seen them in Paris rocking a baby, teaching it Swahili. In China, I've never seen them teaching them French. You know why? You give a child language because the language represents parenthood. Why wouldn't God give his children language as a sign of empowerment? Language means you have the ability to represent your parents. My God is spirit. Why wouldn't he give a language of the spirit that goes beyond what my parents taught me of the flesh, but of the spirit of the living God that calls out, Abba Father, Daddy God. By the way, language is connected to your breath. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to forget about everything. And I'm going to ask you to begin to worship the living God. And from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, I'm going to ask you to not worry about the words of your mouth. And I'm going to ask you to pray not of the language, but here. Everyone put your hands on your heart. Everyone out loud say, Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Cleanse me of my sins. Forgive me of my unrighteousness. My righteousness is as filthy rags. You are the Lord and Savior of my life. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus has risen from the dead. He is alive at the right hand of the Father. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he lives inside of me. If you believe that, I want you to begin to lift your hands and worship God. Begin to lift your hands. Let everything that hath breath praise him. Oh, Rabbosai. Come on, praise him. I praise you, Lord. Be filled with the power of God from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet.
Hallelujah. I just want to be where you are. I just want to be where you are. So I just wanna be
want you to lift your hands and begin to pray in the Spirit all across this place. I see your nomoko ro isi buboka underake in the rubokori in the rubaka gordi in the rubokori in the rubaka Come on, pray. Groan in the Spirit. Oh, Rabaka, talk to God the Father. Open your heart to Him. Oh, Rabaka. Oh, Rabaka. Oh, Rabaka. Count it all joy. Come on, count it all joy. Oh, be of good cheer. Come on, let the effervescence of praise come. Let the effervescence of worship come. Oh, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. Rivers of living water. Jesus. If you're sick in body, worship Him. If you're going through turmoil, worship Him. If you're going through affliction, worship Him. I don't care what the doctor said this week, worship God. I don't care what your husband said, worship God. I don't care what your wife said, worship God. I don't care what your parents said, what your children said. Oh, what your teacher said, what your boss. Somebody praise Him. He is high and lifted up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Jesus, and we praise you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Come on, get all hot and shook up and praise Him. Get all hot and shook up and worship Him. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hosanna. Hosanna. I see Jesus in you. You're beautiful. I see Jesus in you. You're beautiful. I see Jesus in you. With your hands lifted, would you say to Jesus, you're beautiful. I see God the Father in you. Come on, tell Him He's beautiful. Oh, and worthy of our praise. Sweet Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit. We worship you.
I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus.
Would you lift your heads and look at me a moment, please? Tomorrow night we speak in Anchorage, and I probably will speak tomorrow night in Anchorage on Go Big Believe, the message I preached yesterday morning. But if you possibly can, drive down and be with us. We would absolutely love it with all that is within us. How many believe God loves Anchorage? You know why? Because he made it near Wasilla. The second thing, tomorrow night after service, I will fly home and James will catch the, I think it's the 1 a.m. flight to Phoenix. We land Tuesday morning. I'll be in Tulsa. He'll be in Phoenix. On Saturday, we fly to New York to preach for 10 straight days, every day. And we'll finish a week from Sunday preaching five times in the Bronx. You know, you guys thought you had four. I'm going to tell you, when I finished Sunday, that fourth one, I was tired. I don't know about you, but I was. We get back home. We will be home for Easter, which will be our first Sunday off since Christmas. My account by Easter, my air account, will have over 50,000 miles already flown this year. I'm not bragging, I'm complaining. God, I'm grateful. I am grateful. After that, we go to Paris, and then from Paris into Russia, back to Paris, then home. We preach one Sunday at home, and then we fly to Japan to preach for 10 straight days in 10 different churches. We get home and preach one Sunday, and then fly to Sweden, and then to South Africa from there. And I'm not saying to impress you, I'm asking you to pray for us, to pray that God will keep our bodies healthy and strong. Pray for protection for us, for our families. Pray for our families. Pray for every one of James's five children. You know, they're at that wonderful age. And whenever one of them goes to school, Letitia shouts and James cries. She usually lets them the first day of school in kindergarten. James goes because he cries and she stays at home and rejoices. But let me ask it again. How many of you pray 1 minute a day? May I see your hands? In a moment, Pastor's going to give you an opportunity to plant a seed. We've been to Russia 103 times. We've preached to millions of people. But I have a video just before to help them know how to pray. Do you, whenever, how many know he has authority when he steps up beside me? It's like I know I'm supposed to be done right then. Would you return to your seats, please?
Hallelujah. You have that video queued up? Would you go ahead and let that roll? Put your hands together for our brother. brothers.
Люди продолжают выходить по всему залу. Пожалуйста, позвольте им подойти сюда ближе к сцене, пожалуйста. Выходите. Выходите.
Amen. Ushers, would you help us? They're believing to raise $12,000. I report to you that we've raised four. That's good. Amen. Let's just do our best tonight. Amen. God is great. Powerful word. Powerful word. Hallelujah. If you're making out a check, you can make it out to KC. We will send them on with one check. For the totality of the offering, it all goes to them. Ushers, would you come? Something shifted tonight in the spirit, today and tonight. How many of you sense what I'm talking about? I see Jim. He reminded me that there's been an 8.3 earthquake in Chile. Oh God, we just pray for them and a tsunami. And Father, we pray for our churches in Chile, Lord, and for our people there, that you would protect them. You would protect the people, the nation of Chile. Intervene in Jesus' name. Something shifted tonight. Something changed. I can't quite put my finger on it, but I know it as surely as I know anything. There's a shift. Hallelujah. What a great God we serve. Father, thank you for this wonderful team, for our dear brother James Huey, and for Michael French and their families. We bless them tonight. Raise all the funds that are needed to touch that nation, to touch Russia at this crucial time in their history. Pour out your spirit there. Use this gift. Multiply it many times over to the giver as well as to Michael French Ministries. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, go ahead. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity towards them. Praise God. Do you know that when you get to heaven, that there's rewards? Did you know there's rewards in heaven? In fact, Cornelius, his giving had come up as a memorial before the Lord. And do you know that we might not be able to go to Russia or might not be able to go to Paris or these different places, but by giving of that which God has entrusted to us, do you know we get a portion of your reward? Do you know that? Like, we'd not be able to go, but we can send you. And by sending him, when we get there, it'll be like, oh yeah, the Lord will reward you and bless you. Come on, there's an account in heaven. We're just making some heavenly deposits. Glory to God. What a privilege. Somebody say praise God.
Praise God.
Stand up on your feet as we close our service tonight. Father, we thank you so much. Would you take someone by the hand? Pastor Karen, would you join me, my beautiful wife? Father, we thank you so much for what you've done through the ministry of this, our dear brother Michael French, James Huey. And Lord, we ask that you would seal this upon our heart. Go big, believe. You'd seal it upon our hearts, Lord. The coming days and weeks and months, Lord, that we would indeed go big and believe. Nothing's impossible to them that believe. Now bless your people, God, as only you can. Cause your face to shine upon them. Lift up your countenance towards them. Be gracious to them. Keep them and give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Praise God. We'll hope to see you Sunday morning. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to be that for you. Please take those Alaska Fest posters home. Bless all the folks that are online, those listening by podcast. Get those flyers. Pass those things out. Men, register for the men's encounter. Starts Friday night. We love you. Praise the Lord.